And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, is Anthony Herron.
Tri-City! For the better part of the next 2 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron of Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is the post-post show on The Score. I'm taking you up to Sunday night football coverage here on The Score. Looking forward to that, but an outstanding initial effort. The Bears undefeated on the season so far. A lot to look forward to, a lot we will get into over the course of the next hour and next 2 hours. And just to make sure you know, tonight the Rams take on the Lions on Sunday Night Football. Pre-game coverage is coming up at 6:30 and kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. So I'll be here with you until that point in time. I got Tyler Butterball on the ones and twos for me until that point as well. So we got a couple hours to react to what we saw today from the Bears, getting off on a winning note, getting out and getting it on at Soldier Field today, got that victory. And I know there were so many conversations. There's been so much discussion of what this would look like as we were preparing for what the Bears would be this season, all the anticipation that's been there. And the victory was certainly the expected part. I think most folks went into this believing the Bears would be able to take down the Tennessee Titans. But what it looked like, that's what I'm very intrigued to talk to you out there about. With a 24-17 final score, Bears end up winning by a touchdown. Decisive touchdowns not scored by the Bears offense, though. The Bears special teams, the Bears defense, the Bears kicker, really the ones putting the points on the board here. And you may have noticed Caleb Williams threw for less than 100 yards in the game. So, you know, the aesthetics probably not as pleasing as many of you were hoping for. But in the end, the final result is a Bears victory. So we'll open up the phone lines at a certain point here, and I'm looking forward to getting your reaction to some of this at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. And part of what I'm curious about more specifically is, what were your expectations? And be honest with yourselves, be honest with me, be honest with the listeners to the post-post show here. When I do open up the phone lines and get a chance to talk to you, I'm going to be curious for what were your expectations coming in, because my impression is that many of you had very lofty goals, not only for the team for the full season, but for what the Bears' young quarterback would look like, what this team would feel like in stepping off the field today. And stepping off the field in victory is certainly a great position to be in. There shouldn't be any real argument about that, but statistically, the talk of how easy it would be for Caleb Williams to go out here, to light it up, to set all these, not just Bears rookie passing records, but Bears all-time regular season records, things of that ilk. All that is still on the table as we sit here, but you did see a difference in the flow, in the ease, in the execution that was there at times during the regular season, and even the perception of Caleb Williams' regular season. I did, at least in the attempts I've had here on The Score and on other outlets, on television, radio, to try and add some context to what we saw from a young quarterback in his regular season action, because there were certainly those flashes of playmaking brilliance, but there was also a lot of time where you saw a guy look inexperienced, look young, look like there's still so much growth and development that will be possible, but that will be necessary if he is truly going to become a great football player, a great NFL quarterback. We saw a lot of that potential on display today, though. There were a few wow moments, a few plays that got made, but on the whole, He looked like a guy who who was a bit baffled and befuddled at times. He addressed as much after the game, just with, you know, from the perspective of a bit of frustration with his own performance, with the Bears offense as a whole, and the amount of work that they plan to put in to really get this thing right. But when you think about it, the confidence and comfort that's been there in assuming how good the Bears can potentially be this season, the other aspects of that, at least in the other phases of the game, showed up pretty well. Now, a lot of meat on the bone elsewhere too. You know, that this isn't, at least in my opinion, shouldn't be just a perception that Caleb Williams was the only one who played poorly today, who didn't reach his standard or the expectations that may have been there for him going into the game. There's a number of players on the Bears here, a number of guys within that starting lineup, contributors who will have something to sort of answer for as they get into the film room. The good thing is, and you know, you hear this talked about in football quite a bit, especially early in the season, this tends to be true, where it's more impactful in certain ways to be able to teach after a difficult win, where it's obvious that you didn't achieve your standard, that you didn't reach your expectations, but you're able to come out with a win. Then you have this sort of intriguing blend of positivity that also can be tinged with, can be met with frustration that's there. And a lot of competitors, especially once you get to the professional level, that frustration is what can fuel you. Humans can be fueled by a lot of different things. But the Bears step off the field at Soldier Field today, and I think they feel like a team who, in some ways, perhaps, you know, maybe fortunate wouldn't be the right word, but I think, you know, I certainly wouldn't call it lucky. I feel like fortunate is a word that describes what we saw with the Bears today. It's a team that was fortunate to make enough plays to win this game in the fashion that they won it, because it was a game that had a number of fits and starts from a penalty perspective, from an execution perspective, schematically, as per usual. You know, some things that might be worthy of question as well, and decision-making from the coaching staff. Here in game one for Shane Waldron, I'm going to reserve, just as a preview of the next couple hours here, and who knows how this conversation is going to end up going here. Once I open the phone lines, get some of you involved in the discussion, maybe you'll end up convincing me otherwise. But at the moment, I don't come out of that Bears game feeling like there's a lot of criticism that's worthy for Shane Waldron at the moment. Now, part of that in my mind is certainly not because the struggles of the Bears offense, that the coach doesn't have anything to do with that. Any of you who have been listening to me on this station through the last few Bears offensive play callers, whether that has been Matt Nagy or Bill Lazor or Luke Getsy, Dow Loggins, I can't leave Dow Loggins out of that as well. It was the Dow Loggins era when I first started doing stuff here at the Score years back. But I don't mind telling you what I think about the OC. But my approach tends to be, let's watch him work for a little bit. Let's see a number of games of how he schemes things up. Let's allow the play caller, the offensive play caller, to get a feel for, get a sense for what his players, what the offensive personnel can execute at a high level, and see if there's a game plan that's consistently crafted towards the strengths of those players. So while I felt like the preseason was fine from Shane Waldron, and I like the fact that with three and four different quarterbacks getting in there, you know, you saw a Bears offense that moved the ball at a high level, at least at a consistent level, and looked efficient, looked fairly slick for the most part. But this regular season, one game into the regular season, I'm going to reserve a little bit of judgment on Shane Waldron. But there's certainly plenty to be critiqued. Specifically to Caleb Williams, to the Bears' number one overall pick, to the rookie quarterback making his first career start. Things I didn't like, I'll put it that way. I thought that for Caleb, I talked about this morning on Bears Game Day Live on Fox 32. I talked about it on Friday on Bears Blitz. I've been describing it a bit in previewing this matchup on the station here. What Denard Wilson, the new defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, he certainly threw some exotics at Caleb and at this Bears pass protection as the game wore on. But the main task, the most consistent challenge that the Titans, led by Denard Wilson, were going to throw at the Bears in this game wasn't necessarily about confusing Caleb on a consistent basis. It was more so about throwing off the timing of the Bears' route tree, throwing off the consistency of how rhythmic Caleb would be comfortable trying to be in getting the football out of his hands and hitting that back step and just letting it rip, cutting the football loose on time and in rhythm. And the way that Tennessee would go about, and this is how the game played out in large part, the way the Titans went about doing that was because they went out and spent some money on the secondary. Now, the Bears have certainly spent their fair share of money and draft capital on wide receiver as well. But in that matchup, even at times where Bears receivers were winning on their routes, even at times where the Bears play caller was putting receivers in position to create space, to have separation, to confound at times the coverage responsibility for Tennessee, there were times where guys either routed their way open or schemed their way open when Caleb just flat out missed him. You don't like seeing that. Because this will not be a game that'll be as mentally taxing for Caleb Williams from an evaluation perspective as he breaks the huddle and looks at that Tennessee defense. Pre-snap, Tennessee isn't going to confound him nearly as much as some other defensive schemes, some other defensive coordinators. But there were certainly those moments. You got to some third downs, especially in the second half, where they started to heat up the pocket. But I didn't see Caleb looking like a guy who consistently had no idea what was going on. What I saw, though, was a guy who, when Keenan Allen got bumped off his route on his release from the line of scrimmage, when DJ Moore wasn't creating a lot of space, a lot of separation, as Legarius Sneed's out there tugging at his jersey and being handsy in coverage, as he's known to do, when that was going on, I saw Caleb patting on the football a little bit. And when he did let it rip on occasion, I saw a guy who wasn't consistently accurate with the football. So from an evaluation perspective, it's not necessarily something that concerns me at the moment, but in critique of this game, I'd say that's the biggest critique that I have of Caleb is in coming into this game, I said, he's going to know where to go with the football against this coverage. The issue will be, can he get it there on time, in rhythm, because there's going to be a secondary here and a pass rush up front that's going to be able to test his idea of NFL open and how accurately, how consistently he can put the football there. And that's where I didn't necessarily see Caleb, you know, rise to that occasion, rise to that challenge in a way that I do believe once we get beyond his first career start in a regular season game, my expectations for that will certainly ramp up. I think he's more than capable of doing that. But as he and Shane Waldron, and Kerry Joseph, the Bears coaching staff, you know, the offensive brain trust and Flus and everybody else, they go down and they sit down with Caleb and start evaluating this film, my impression is, and, you know, upon my first look at the game here, I believe they're going to come out of this feeling like, Caleb, you saw the field clearly. You read things at a pretty high level. We got to get you, once you see it, to throw it in rhythm, to throw it with some fluidity, to put it, as opposed to, there were several times, especially throughout a lot of the first half, where he's putting it on the back shoulder of the receiver, and the defensive back in trail position is able to club the ball away at the last moment. Or the receiver isn't able to make the reception and continue in rhythm and keep his momentum moving forward to advance the ball up the field. Some of those things sort of come down to nuance and near misses, but it matters. It matters so much, especially in a game like this, where it's one thing if you're kind of getting beat up at times up front, you're getting some penetration into the backfield, you're getting big ugly people in your face as a quarterback. it can take the starch out of the opposing pass rush when they feel like, man, I had a hellacious pass rush move there. I really got home. But, oh, he still threw a great ball and they completed a first down. Oh, man, what a move I made. I just cleaned that quarterback's clock. Uh-oh, he still threw a touchdown. And it does negate a little bit of your aggressiveness, a little bit of that urgency that you rush the quarterback with when you have a guy who can stand in there and do that at a high level. But when you feel like your pass rush is impacting, it's having a positive influence on your defense, it's having a negative influence on that opposing quarterback, then it just enhances that lather. And that's what I think we saw a good bit of from the guys on that D-line, a very impressive defensive front. And, you know, I'm not going to call it the best D-line the Bears are going to face this season because they got 16 of these things left. But that's an impressive D-line that the Bears' offensive line faced today. It's an O-line group. We'll get into it in further detail. But an O-line group that certainly looked, I'll call it rusty. But beyond the rust, we'll see what they do personnel-wise. I don't think that the personnel concerns are going to have some quick fix to them, though. And I'll be able to describe why as we get through the show. I know the phone lines are already lighting up at 312-644-6767. As the Bears do come out with a win, 24-17. So I'm very curious just what your feeling is. I want to know, what did you expect going into the game? And how close were the results of the game to your expectations? And I'll say this, just as a bit of advice, because there are 16, there's at least 16 more of these left, not post shows, but Bears regular season games. And we'll see if they end up making the postseason as well. The reasonable aspect of what can all make us well-balanced humans, I understand that that's not always what makes us great sports fans either. So I accept that. I am willing to allow that to be vented here on the post show. So if you thought, which I know a lot of you thought, Caleb was going to throw for 250 yards and three touchdowns. I've been hearing those calls for weeks. If you felt like that going in, how do you feel now? How dejected are you? How concerned are you? Or do you recognize that this is just one of 17 regular season games? The Bears winning, does that satiate the desire for success? Did you go into this thing mostly concerned with how Caleb looked? Are you happy that the Bears won this game? 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. We will also, during the time that I'm on the air here this evening, we will hear from Bears head coach Matt Eberflus. We will hear from Bears quarterback Caleb Williams. We will also hear from you. This is the first opportunity we get on the post show to react to the Bears. And fortunately, I think for us, it's a little bit easier to smile when we are reacting to a Bears victory. I will take my first time out, come back, get to some of your phone calls, reacting to what you saw at Soldier Field today. We'll do that next. I'm Anthony Herron. Tyler Butterball in the ones and twos for me on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Here's the game. They need to get to midfield. Levis off the back foot, floats it up for Boyd. It is picked off. Johnson seals the deal, and the defense wins the day for Chicago.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's how it sounded on Fox. Adam Amin and Mark Sanchez on the call. Christina Pink was on the sidelines. That was Jalen Johnson sealing the deal. Closing the show for the Bears. I think he's going to have a chance of maybe trying to at least threaten that single season interception record. Something I might come back to a little bit later on here, though, because at 312-644-6767, I know many of you are eager to get involved in this conversation. The Bears are 1-0 on the season. They took down the Tennessee Titans today, 24-17, got the victory by a touchdown, but the touchdowns were scored by the special teams, by the defense. So the offense did leave a little something to be desired. I think that's a safe way to perceive what we saw on the field today. But let's go out to the hotline here. bring in some callers, get involved in the conversation. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Tyler Beautyball's got those phone lines locked and loaded. Neil is out in Northbrook. Let's talk about what was seen today, especially on the defensive side of the football. What's happening, Neil?
Hey, what's up, Big Ant? This is Neil, Bears 46 Zone. It's a huge fan of you. I just got one question. Are you seeing some early flashes of brilliance on the defense compared to our 06 Bears 18, Bears 85 Bears in terms of takeaways and being opportunistic?
I think that's a valid question. And sometimes, Neil, I appreciate the call. Sometimes I think, you know, folks kind of get one glimpse and we get one game into the season and then there's this reaction to try and figure out how great things are and start to compare it to some of the all-time greats or teams who did big things. The difference in this scenario, though, is that, yes, we do only have a one-game sample size of 2024 Bears defense. But the understanding is, of course, that this is a unit that's operated together for, you know, multiple seasons. You've, of course, continued to add pieces to enhance the Bears defense. But we know Jalen Johnson is a proven commodity at this point. We know big money was spent on Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards to bolster that linebacker position. The draft capital that was spent a couple of years ago on Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker. Last season on Tyreek Stevenson, who had an exceptional play, putting a touchdown on the board for the Bears defense. And that defensive front, that still, I would imagine, I suppose I would hope, is a work in progress, but really showed some nice things at times in the game today as well. And it was a front seven for the Bears that ended up being the top run defense in football last season, even though, you know, for the bulk of the first half plus of the game today, they didn't necessarily look like that against a really formidable Titans offensive line and run game and run scheme throughout the game today. But seemed like they got things figured out and shored up in the second half. Part of that because their quarterback, Will Levis, ended up just sort of, you know, gagging the football up to him a few different times. But I'll say this about the Bears defense. While it's just a one-game sample size for this year, what we knew about them coming in certainly flashed, I think, at a reasonable level throughout the game today. This Tennessee Titans offense is not, it's not going to be one of the best overall offenses that the Bears face this year. Will Levis is a guy that's still got a whole lot to prove as a quarterback. Yeah, he's big, he's strapping, he's got a strong arm. The overall depth of QB the Bears are going to face this season, you know, Will Levis isn't going to be one of the guys at the top of that food chain when we're evaluating top to bottom, kind of power ranking the Bears' opponents for the year. They're going to get a big step up in class by the time they take the field next week on Sunday Night Football. So I like a number of glimpses of what we're seeing from the Bears today, especially a couple of the new additions to the defensive front. Some nice signs. Also, on the back end, one individual who I do find a little bit concerning for where he's at. Now, come back to that a little bit later as well. So certainly a passing grade. I like what I saw from the Bears defense. There's room to grow, but I do think it's safe to assume from what we've seen from this outfit over last year plus that growth will end up happening, assuming health. This is going to be a high-level Bears defense, but first half, they were a bit of a sieve at times in the first half, not only against the run, but against the pass as well. So some things to clean up, but for the first effort out, really like the way they finished in the second half of the game. Let's go back out to the hotline of 312-644-6767. Chris is out in Evanston, wants to know what's up with the big guys up front on offense. What's happening, Chris?
Hey, what's going on? My expectation, I thought we were going to dominate, but that's because primarily I thought we improved the O-line with a lot of the acquisitions. And so that was a big disappointment for me. I mean, we were getting destroyed on the O-line. That's probably going to be a problem all year. And that's kind of scary to think about, which is why I don't want to say anything bad about a first game in the NFL, first-round quarterback, because he was running for his life back there way too much. So the things that I liked from him was I liked seeing that like you said, I learned from Aaron Rodgers when he kept looking up the field instead of just taking off and, you know, trying to wait and let something develop up the field and as a last resort take off. And, man, 52, Taylor, I never heard of him until we traded for him. But, wow, that guy looks like the real deal. And I'm excited, man. I think we had, you know, a really good game. I don't even think we gave up 300 yards on offense. So as bad as the defense might have looked, you know, they kept them under 300. They performed when they needed to in big spots. And both turnovers were, as far as the interceptions, were from pressure. And then the forced fumble as well. So as long as we continue to get that consistent pressure, like you said, they had a good O-line. I'm excited for the year.
And with good reason, Chris, with good reason. Darrell Taylor, no doubt, he's a guy who's been able to be a quality situational pass rusher throughout his career prior to now. And he got a lot of work in the game today. He's got some juice. He can get up the field, turn the corner. He's got violent hands, good lean. So he's a nice sort of counterpoint to Montez Sweat, the way that Montez Sweat, the way that DeMarcus Walker rushes the quarterback off the opposing edge. Darrell Taylor is a guy who can just bring, you know, straight explosive speed to turn the corner, to get speed in the feet of the opposing offensive tackle. And even though you know it's coming, you still, and that's the reason you tend to see these penalty flags that happen a good bit, especially early in the season with the alignment issues from offensive tackles. Because when there's a guy threatening them with speed, they want to be able to get out of their stance, get into their kick slide, and open up as quickly as possible. And so the amount of depth that they can get from the line of scrimmage just puts them in a position where as they're backing up and some speedy defensive end is trying to run past them and turn the corner, then it gives them a little bit more space to be able to get sort of to the point of engagement at the proper depth for the pocket without that guy running by them. So that's why you see, you know, guys end up lining up too deep, and the head linesman, one of the officials, one of the referees in the striped jersey who's eyeballing the line of scrimmage, they see that tackle too deep, and you see that flag get thrown. The reason that tackle is too deep is because he's been threatened by speed, and they're afraid that that defensive end, that outside linebacker, that edge rusher is just going to run by him. So they start to line up deeper and deeper and deeper. Next thing you know, they're too far in the backfield and they're getting a penalty flag because of guys like Darrell Taylor. But he was very impressive. He was really impressive for the role that the Bears had him in today. And not only impressive as a pass rusher, when they had him on some movement stunts in the game today, he was sticking his nose in there on a frequent basis. So, yeah, he's definitely a quality addition that Ryan Poles was able to make late in the preseason. And what we saw today, the results of that, he added some of that juice that you really needed to be able to come around the edge, turn the corner, a different type of defensive end with the way he rushes the quarterback. Stylistically, a different guy from either Montez Sweat or DeMarcus Walker, but as a unit, really liked a lot of what was seen from the defensive line there. And I'm glad Chris Mevenston was able to recognize that and point that out, some of the juice that Darrell Taylor added to things. I very much agree. 312-644-6767. More calls on the way here. I see Ryan out there. I see Danny out there. More of your calls will continue here on the Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.